Today I want to read with you again from the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I want again to reflect upon the glorious gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 then, verses 1 through to 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I have been endeavouring to bring to your attention that wonderful expression, the glorious gospel of Christ. That is a pearl of great price, the gospel. I've been trying to impress upon you its uniqueness. It's certainly something that the devil abhors and opposes. It's something that all of hell resists. How that the devil, how that Satan himself, how that he works in the minds of those who are lost, those who are unbelievers, so that they may remain in darkness and perish in their sins. And the thing which he resists more than anything, with all his energy and with all his might, is this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's something sinners need to keep in mind. And that's something that the Christian church can never cease recalling, so that they will pray all the more against the wiles of the wicked one and for the success of the glorious gospel in this fallen world. And so we saw the opponent, the adversary of the gospel. We considered why this gospel is glorious. Was Paul right when he said this? And we've been looking at reasons why it's glorious. It's glorious because it's divine in origin. It's from the triune God. It's glorious because it's the everlasting gospel. It's come out of the eternal heart of God. It was planted as soon as Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden in the first gospel message. And it's been working through the ages and even in the great eternity to come. The redeemed, they'll be singing about it. They'll be singing the everlasting gospel unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. So there's something everlasting about it. It's special. It's unique. And then its design and purpose, not just to save men, which is a wonderful purpose in itself, but beyond that and through that, It glorifies God. It glorifies his mercy and his grace in forgiving so many sinners through this gospel. And then it's glorious because at its heart it's about Jesus Christ, a wonderful, a lovely Saviour, who is in himself the glorious Son of God, doing a glorious work in dying for our sins. And then it's glorious because of its power, its triumph, its success in the world, and saving so many sinners and changing so many lives. And I trust that it has changed the life of the hearer. And if it hasn't, I trust that you'll reflect upon this glorious gospel and you'll pray that the Holy Spirit would make it effectual in your life and give you the gift of faith in Jesus Christ and come to believe in him. And you yourself will be able then to acquiesce with what the Apostle Paul is saying, and from your heart be able to say, yes, indeed it is. It's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But then, having seen that it's glorious, and having seen that why it's glorious, we need to pause and we need to ask, well, what does this mean to me? How should this affect you? How should this affect me? In other words, what will you do with this glorious gospel? If this gospel is glorious, what kind of a response should it get from us, from our hearts, and from our lives? Well, let me lay before you several practical things, practical responses that ought to be in the hearts of those who are challenged by this glorious gospel. And the first thing is, you ought to believe it. If it's so glorious, it ought to be believed. It ought to be received. If it's heavenly and divine in origin, if it's from above, if it's about a message that you need, if it's telling you about how to be right with God, if it's bringing to you the wonderful gift of a salvation in a great Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the gift of the forgiveness of sins, then you ought to receive it. If at its heart it says, repent and believe the gospel, then that's what you ought to do. Its very nature as glorious requires us. Its glory requires you to believe it, to receive it, to bow before it. If it's so unique and so special, then it would be very foolish to ignore it. It would be very unwise to neglect it. It would be the greatest folly to cast it from you and to dismiss it out of your life. If it's a glorious gospel, you need to pause. You need to reflect. And you need to believe it. And you need especially to receive that Jesus Christ who is at the heart of it. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is brought to you today in the glorious gospel that is about him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you ought to believe it if you're an unconverted sinner. And if you are a Christian, this glorious gospel, keep on believing it. Keep on trusting in the Saviour and be comforted by it. You'll not be disappointed. You'll not be ashamed at the last day by having believed it. It's glorious. You can live in the light of it. You can live in the comfort of it. And not only live in the comfort of it if you're a Christian, child of God, you can die in the comfort of it. It'll suffice. It will be sufficient to live and to die in, because it's the glorious gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of him who is the image of the invisible God. And all that you need to know about God, and all you need to know to be right with God, is in Jesus Christ, your Lord. So just keep on believing in him. Keep on trusting in the Saviour. It's a glorious, glorious gospel then, that we are comforted by. And what can be more glorious than the knowledge that a Saviour came into the world for such sinners as you and me? Then another thing, if it's glorious, you ought to study it. You ought to search it out. You ought to never weary of hearing about it. Like a diamond, always hold it up, always admire it, always turn it around, always want to look at it from different angles and see the different rays of its glory. And that's why the child of God studies the Bible and he studies the gospel. He never wearies of it. That's why Christians go to the house of God and hear the preaching of the gospel all the time. They have seen something of the glory and they can't take it all in at once. And they want to see new aspects of it every week when they go to God's house. And as I read the word, and not only do men, Christian men and women, study the gospel and want to know and see more of its glory, even the angels. The Bible even tells us that angels look into its glory. How much more ought sinners to look into it, who have been saved by that gospel? And so, read your Bible. Meditate on the different aspects of this gospel. Become a student of it. Become even a theologian in the glorious gospel. Study the grace of God. Study the incarnation. Study the doctrine of the atonement. All the words of the gospel that are revealed to us in the scriptures of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Study those words, because those words reveal more and more the glory of the gospel. Especially study the person of the Lord Jesus and all his works and all his acts. And especially study Calvary and the cross and the doctrine of the atoning blood shed freely for our sins. And then if it's glorious, and if you're a Christian especially, this should be applicable to you. If it's glorious, you ought to adorn it with a good and godly life. The Bible talks about adorning the doctrine of God, our Saviour. And this is done by an honest and God-fearing life. And so that's how we show that it's glorious. The ungodly don't see the glory of the gospel, but they watch Christians very often. And we must show something of the glory of the gospel in our lives. Every Christian, every child of God must show that the gospel has changed them truly, and that it's making them Christ-like. And so adorn the gospel. Adorn it, this glorious gospel. And then if it's glorious and worthy, we ought also to do all in our power to promote it and further it and talk about it and pray for its advance and contribute our money even and our time and our tithe and make every effort that we can to shed abroad in all the earth the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.